Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey folks, I am here with the amazing Steve Distante. How you doing today?
Amazing.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I just got off recently with Justin Breen. He was blowing you up, man. I don't know how your name came up, but look at that. Yeah. So he's always wearing a hat, isn't he?
Yeah, that's the abundance hat. I love Justin. Justin always wears that hat. I know his wife, and she's like, tell him to put the hat back on. I guess she doesn't like his head.
And, I get you.
My dad always used to say, God only made so many perfect heads. The rest
that's the truth.
He put hair on, right? So,
listen,
and then Justin, it's hats.
It is. And you, my friend, I got to give you some big props, because I've read both your books in a period of like 4 or 5 days compressed. And I'll tell you what, even though I'm the chair of an entrepreneurship program at a university, I learned more from your books about entrepreneurship. Because listen, there's a whole world out there about investments, and you were laying out some big terms, man. And I think you got this new thing called PIN, Private Investor Network.
Yeah.
Why does PIN exist?
The Private Investor Network exists because of Joe Polish.
Really?
Just that's it. No, truthfully, that is a true statement. However, what I find is that entrepreneurs who invest in other entrepreneurs are often really dissatisfied, and the entrepreneur who's taking the capital in gets really confused with who they're dealing with.
Gotcha.
You know, it's like dealing with the godfather of entrepreneurship and, you know, not kissing the ring. It's a tough thing. So we help demystify that and create victory conditions.
I love that term, victory conditions. In fact, I'm going to share a moment here about your books, because they're really powerful. You have two books out. Yeah. Once Upon a Time in Entrepreneur Land. I know by the time this thing launches, this will be out all over the place, but this is a unique book. give people a little, you know, you got Stone Soup in there. You got all kinds of this stuff.
Yeah. So it's 14 entrepreneurially positive fables. Why do I say entrepreneurially positive? We get beat up a lot. And the reality is, this is a way to celebrate us as entrepreneurs. And something magical happens when you tell a story. What happens is people lean in and their BS meters are gone and their brain contracts, giving a little more room in your head to dream.
Wow.
And you become a child again. I was telling a story today because I took stories that you've heard, fables that you've heard, such as the Three Little Pigs. And in my version of Three Little Pigs, well, first of all, it's a trilogy. It's three stories related to that, where the wolf is actually born to a litter of dogs. And that dog has to treat it totally different. And the mom is looking at it. And that was me when I was a kid. I was born to five. And I'm so different than the rest of my family. I'm so driven and so different. But then ultimately in the story, you know, you've got B.B. Wolf, Big Bad Wolf, who goes into business with the three little pigs. And all of these are stories that were brought together based upon friends, my own personal story, interview.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some pretty significant people in this. Dean Jackson. And
you got the owl, the Who Hunter.
Yeah, Who Hunter's great. I mean, if you can't find the right who's to fill positions in your organization, what good are you? And Who Hunter is all about that, because in the story, he had hired cats, B.B. Wolf, and the cats were too much like him. So as entrepreneurs, how many times have we hired people who are just like us and we wonder why we don't have different outcomes?
You got this one story, man. And I'll tell you what, I was listening. First of all, I recommend the audiobook. I mean, I have all of them. I got the physical so I can see the cartoons and all that. Oh yeah, your daughter.
Your daughter. She did all the art. Yeah, she's a professional artist. So for sure. She's
got
all
here I am. Illustrations and stuff. Here I am listening to the audiobook. I'm on my bicycle because that's how I do it. And I'm just I'm working up my heart. But I'm hearing this story of this guy who was betrayed. Remember this?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I'm almost tearing up because that happened to me. And I think it's happened to most entrepreneurs. And the guy in the story, he actually begins to say, well, I'm not going to trust people again. Yeah. But then this older gentleman comes to him and gives him this special stone.
Yeah.
And he says, what, you know, like
when you, this meeting will be a distant memory when you find out what this means.
Wow. Wow. And you see him begin to meet other people that have also been betrayed. So now he doesn't feel stupid anymore. He feels like, ooh, this is just part of the process of being an entrepreneur. Don't you think your private investor network, I mean, is that why this thing exists?
Heck yeah, for sure. There's no question. I mean, the entrepreneur is getting stolen from. It's not if, it's when.
Wow.
And it's the equivalent of, I mean, it's entrepreneurial rape, God forbid, you know, but it's like, we don't want to tell anybody. We're in shame, and it's just like, and it's something we're not proud of. And then we find out 90% of entrepreneurs get stolen from at some point in their life.
Wow.
But nobody talks about it.
And and I know like some people might hear that and they might be like, what? He's being melodramatic. I'll tell you what, you let people in. I mean, when, you know, my favorite book, it says where your treasure is, your heart is.
Yeah.
And so when you let people into your financials and you give them access to everything related to the business and you trust them and you say, you take care of the books because I'm going to keep crushing it and I'm going to make the sales and the network. And I just trust you. Then you come back and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty tragic. But the good thing about your book is that it gave the other side of the story and it turns into this wonderful stone. I won't give it away, but something powerful happens with the stone.
Yeah. When I was articulating that story, both writing and reading it, because I believe I was told by Joe Polish, who's a mentor, a friend, you need to read your audible. Somebody else can't read it.
Yeah.
It's important. I literally had to record that story over and over again because I was going to tears. Because it's true. It's a true story. It's my story.
Yeah.
I was so betrayed and I felt so horrible about it. And then at the end, we all know what happens, but you're going to have to buy the book to see what that's all about. But yeah, that happens. And then the beginning in Stone Soup, you know, that was as a result of an interview I did with Joe Polish. And if you know Joe Polish from the Genius Network, he wants everything to be ELF, which is easy, lucrative, and fun. And these two carpetbaggers, entrepreneurs, come upon a town where it says Elfish Town. And they said, wow, Elfish Town, how lucky are we? You know, we love easy, lucrative, and fun. And they get in and they've got the worst experience in the whole wide world. And it turns out it's actually called Selfish Town, but the S fell off and nobody gave a crap about the town. So they never put the S back, but the entrepreneurs brought everybody together.
Wow.
As entrepreneurs, we may not have resources, but we're resourceful.
Dude, that's so good. I mean, this book is amazing, but you know, besides a tale or tales, it leads to a community.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm really excited about. I'm part of the community.
Yes.
The community has really two types of people. It has people who need money, the right money.
Entrepreneurs, yep.
And it needs people who are entrepreneurial investors.
Entrepreneur investors, EIs. Yeah, E's and EIs. So entrepreneur investors and entrepreneurs. I mean, the reality is we bring so much to the table as entrepreneur investors. You know, we bring credibility. We bring experience. We bring community. We bring networks. We can skip people to the front of the line so many times, and people don't value that. They don't realize it. And we don't articulate that. And then we feel resentful, perhaps, in an investment where we're treated like OPM, other people's money, you know, not entrepreneurs' money. And we have a lot to give. And it's the game. So Entrepreneurland is really a sales piece, not to minimize what it is, for the private investor network, because it articulates the mission quite well. But the reality is, Carrie, that Entrepreneurland is the private investor network. It's where we get to have fun and fantasy by being able to take entrepreneurs who are looking to raise capital to scale and grow to the next level and then beyond. And money's only part of it. We see ourselves in others, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for aligned opportunities, not just for the money. The money is nice. It's nice, but not, you know, we're willing to take a risk without actually having a return if we feel like we've made a difference and if somebody's business makes a difference in an area that we're, you know, that's relevant to us.
We call it PIN, P-I-N, Private Investor Network.
So it's privateinvestor.network, similar to .com. So it's an extension.
Privateinvestor.network. I love it. Yep. And even, you know, that one piece of information that you gave in there, I mean, that's what it's advertised as. Like, one piece of advice will pay its worth for life, you know. But the example that you gave, we'll call her Sarah. We won't say who she is in real life. But Sarah gave her company, when she made it big, a first class ticket and $10,000. And it felt amazing, but you show in the book and you show in your private investor network that that actually could have made them millionaires for the rest of their life if she just would have done a few things differently.
Yeah, and ESOP. I mean, I talk about ESOPs in both books, both Pitchology and in Once Upon a Time in Entrepreneur Land. And ESOPs are just a beautiful way to be able to extract cash on a very tax savvy way from your business. Reward the people who have helped you along the way in the journey. Retain the people who have come along with you in that, right? Keep them on board and be able to set them up for the future in a very big way. And then you can sell the private equity if you want. But the reality is the tax ramifications, the tax benefits are just so big. A company that turns into an ESOP and has a $2, $3 million, $5 million a year profit pays no taxes if it's set up right. The owner, the founder, can still remain in control and still grow the company and still be able to extract a bunch of money out of their company. So there's a lot of benefits, and we tell it through stories.
So good. So listen, if you're an entrepreneur, this is essential reading. It really is, because he's talking about these unique things that, I mean, I know my world pretty good, but you know these things, and I'm like, I'm blown away. Like, you really have a gift to know. I mean, where did this come from? How do you know all these things about, like, you know, the taxes and the capital, and should you make people partners, and what about equity? I mean, like...
So I've been doing it for a long time. I've raised capital for companies.
You're a consultant with the UN or something crazy.
I did for the UN. I was the first one to bring 600 entrepreneurs to the United Nations from around the world through EO, the Entrepreneurs Organization, where I would teach them about the Sustainable Development Goals. So that was one of the things I did with the UN. And I think I'm going to do it again in this June. I just got asked to do it again. So that's pretty cool. But I've got a degree in accounting. I used to own 33 tax offices. We did about 37,000 returns. I used to have a tax practice. And I was born an entrepreneur. And I took up accounting because I was told by one of my professors it was a language of all business. And it actually did compute. that made sense to me. And so when I sit with accountants, lawyers, and so on, I'm usually the smartest person in the room when it comes to things, because I intimately know my stuff when it comes to my business. You know, I just enjoy doing it. You know, Dan Sullivan calls it unique ability. This is something I love. Yeah, this is what I'm arguing with one of the guys about, some of the misfortunes of entrepreneurs in some of the countries.
That's amazing. I mean, come on now. They don't just put anybody in front of the UN for entrepreneurship. But, you know, as I read your books, as I've studied you, you know, first of all, Heidi, Tanya, Destiny, you got the farms where you're growing trees that are going to be, you know, sustainable. You care about the earth. I mean, I'm blown away. Like, this is a guy, folks, that Steve is not just a money hungry dude. Like, he's totally about giving back to young entrepreneurs. In fact, as we were working through your private investor network, I even challenged you. I'm like, do you really want people who are vetted and who, you know, can be high level investors? Do you want them in the same room? And you said, yeah, if we do it a certain way, being in the same room is a smart thing. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Well, the question is, who do I want to be a hero to?
That's a good Dan Sullivan quote right there.
That's the question. Like, who do you want to be a hero to? And it's a Dan Sullivan, probably his IP or trademark or whatever, but it's all of our question, right? And the reality is, most people don't think that way, but I do. And I mean, who do you want to be a hero to?
Growth-minded entrepreneurs.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I want to be a hero to entrepreneurs that are looking to make a difference with their businesses.
Nice.
So to help them scale and grow and to be able to navigate the world of entrepreneurship, which typically is most challenging between our ears. That's the most challenging part, is our psychology. And so being able to be there with an entrepreneur in the most trying times and say to them, this will all work out. I know it's going to be fine. You're an amazing entrepreneur. You will find that window. You will find an opportunity to get out. I had people do that to me when I had some challenges, and it was so valuable.
I'm so glad that December we were at the same strategic coach meeting. You know how they say, I mean, I thank the Lord. I feel like God put us together, because you were over there and I was over here and I heard you speaking and we connected, and man, you were helping out this young guy.
Oh yeah.
At the table, who, you know, was going through a tough time, and you're like, Carrie, you got to hear this guy's story. Yeah. So I feel like you're a giver, you know?
Oh, like without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I think we have a value match. Where do you see this private investor network going? Like, I think we call it the MTV, Massive Transformative Purpose, MTP. Where do you see this?
So I'm reading off the back of my book, which is to create the world's largest community of entrepreneur investors, EIs, to mentor and help entrepreneurs scale and grow. This is a resource for mentorship. It's a resource for capital. It's a resource for entrepreneur investors to reignite that passion we have for entrepreneurship. Because the reality is, a good friend of mine, Doug Brackman, who wrote the book Driven.
Yes.
We have this energy that we need to expend. And the reality is, if we're not spending it, it's not going anywhere. And I
talk about that. You say like we become arsonists or something.
Yeah, if we don't know how to direct our energy, unfortunately, it ends up being we do damage to other people and other things within our organization. And that's just not okay.
Wow. Wow. This is good. Talk to us about your farms. I mean, you got this farm, you got this trees. It's a place where you kind of bring people to meet them, entrepreneurs. What, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's called Cali Farm, C-A-L-L-Y Farms. And it is a farm in Georgia, about, you know, less than an hour away from Atlanta Airport, 400 acres. And we're growing trees for regenerative forestry purposes called Polonia trees. I had done a capital raise for a company called World Tree. And I did the due diligence and I turned to my wife, Heidi, and I said, we got to do this. This is amazing. Not only do these trees draw down 11 times the carbon of any tree on Earth, they also, when you cut them down inside of 10 or 11 years, produce millions of dollars worth of income. So I've created this farm where every 20 years, I am, are you there? Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm here. Yeah, okay. I'm showing my screen even with the farms.
There you go. So every 20 years, every 10 years, we're cutting down 20 acres, which should produce between $2 and $4 million worth of wood.
Oh my gosh.
And the trees grow back from the stumps.
Wow.
So I don't care if you're, an environmentalist, a capitalist, whatever, you're going to like these trees a lot. You're going to turn green real fast when you see what it does from so many different perspectives. So we're really enjoying the journey. We've been working real hard at being better at understanding exactly how the trees work and what best conditions and so on.
And didn't the tree thing come about because of somebody in your network? In other words, you talk about this lady in the book.
Yes, Wendy Burton. And Wendy believed the trees spoke to her. When she was a kid, she used to hear them crying when the timber would pass by her driveway. She'd say, the trees are crying. And it's kind of brutal when they take trees out. We had to remove some pine in order to make room for the Polonia. And man, it looked like Beirut. It was terrible. It was just like a war zone, the way they leave it. It was just so disrespectful to the trees. I'm sorry. Just feels kind of bad the way they left it. And we had to clean it up for months. But anyway.
But I like how you're blending the capitalism with the environmentalism. In other words, you're saying, look, we can take care of the earth and we can make money. You don't have to sacrifice one or the other.
That's right. You don't, but you just have to be aware. So I have a solar. I'm up in New York right now. I spend half my time in New York, half my time in Georgia. I've got a solar array on my roof of my building. And the truth be told, for 3 years, I analyzed it. And until I hit parity, as far as the cost of my electric was concerned, I couldn't justify the hundreds and hundreds of thousands. And then I figured it out. And I woke up and said, we're doing it now. So
wow.
You need to make decisions because usually municipalities are doing some of these radical things when it comes to efficiency and so on, because the research and development is so expensive that it's really expensive to implement up front. And by the way, the government's using OPM, other people's money, your and my money, to do some sort of project. That's just not feasible unless you're an enthusiast and this is part of, you know, your give back. But the reality is, I want to help entrepreneur farmers to be able to create sustainable farms that are able to create a revenue flow separate from their other produce.
That's just smart, wouldn't you say? Like back up businesses, back up income streams. You're not just in one industry.
That's right. And that's what I've done throughout my life. So I have an investment firm that I founded. I own 3 broker-dealers, 2 RIAs. We've got a few hundred financial advisors that work with our firm. Many of them are focused on things that are impact-oriented. I'm only chairman and founder of those companies. I'm there for innovation and for strategic moves. But I've got an amazing team, a bunch of who's that manage that on a regular basis, which enable me, empower me to be able to be a farmer, a documentary filmmaker, an author, and so on. I'm living within my unique ability. And go back right to your question about the private investor network. I believe this is my life's work. This isn't just a phase. This is my life's work. And it's not if, it's when I get this thing fully blown out. And one of the rooms in there is very near and dear to our hearts, called the IP vault, the intellectual property vault. And my goal is to make intellectual property second nature to most, using tools like yours, which is EZIP. Yep. You have a link to EZIP in there, which if you don't know what EZIP is, you need to check it out.
Yeah.
You know, save yourself and all the struggles that companies go through because they didn't, you know, they didn't file for IP. Do you want to talk about that for a minute or not really?
I'll tell you what, I want to make this about you. I'll just say that it's a deep honor that I joined Private Investor Network and you joined Easy IP. And I feel like that collaboration is amazing because you're right. You're helping investors who have companies with IP and you're raising the value of their company because they've protected that IP. So I think it's a win-win. And but no, keep going. Talk about PIN.
Yeah, so the Private Investor Network is my life's work to be able to bring entrepreneur investors. I don't know what the word is. I call it entrepreneur land because this is the epitome of us living out our fantasies with being able to help fellow entrepreneurs who we can relate to.
Who needs Disneyland when you have entrepreneur land?
Heck yeah, right? Because, you know, we are human doers. We're not human beings, right? We're drivens, like Doug Brackman talks about in his book, Driven. We are drivens and we express ourselves creatively through the businesses that we create, but then being able to help other entrepreneurs. My hope, my dream for this book, by the way, Entrepreneurland, is to have it in every college, every university, for students to be able to experience entrepreneurship in a whole new way. But Private Investor Network does that for people. And the magic to Private Investor Network, not only from an IP perspective, because there's a lot to dive in there, from an ESOP perspective, again, a lot to dive in there, but from keeping track of the investments that you've already made in fellow entrepreneurs, we've created a whole platform for that, which will news scrape, send you updates, allow you to have in one place all of your investments in private companies and entrepreneurs. So you can feel satisfied that you are keeping track of it and creating those victory conditions. And by the way, if you're not happy with your investment, we have an auction room you can sell it in.
So good.
Yeah.
Folks, you got to check out privateinvestor.network. I'm telling you, besides the community, besides the content, i.e. monthly trainings, you have this amazing platform, like he just said, where you can track your investments so that you can stay on top of all the income streams that you have coming in. So, Steve, this was amazing. I know we're even going to mastermind you and our team together here in a few minutes to talk about your big, big launch coming. But I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad that at Strategic Coach we met and you inspired me. I'm going to be in the room tomorrow with college entrepreneurs. I'm going to start the day with a chapter out of Entrepreneur Land.
There you go. Which story do you think you're going to use?
I think I'm going to go chronological.
Nice.
I really think I'm going to lead them through the whole book, a chapter a week. And, you know, we'll get people at the front end of the journey. Of course, you got the whole journey that you're working with.
Yeah. And I want to do one pager for every chapter at least. So nice. I would love to collaborate with you on that as well. I just did one for Who Hunter.
Ooh, sounds good. Well, we're going to take a picture tomorrow when we're all reading your book. So
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That is so kind. I appreciate you.
Folks, check it out. Privateinvestor.network. I will tell you this. You cannot afford not to be in that group. Literally, it will be an investment worth it. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Cary Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/eMind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.